Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Asia. And as always, I am joined by my awesome co-host, Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
Asia, I know I signed up for this. And I mean, this has been nice and all, but just so you know, I plan on going home right after this introduction here.
Oh, wow. Really? You're not enjoying this?
It's just been a lot, you know, like hit our honeymoon phase of the podcast. And now, you know, just watching this every week. I just need a little space. Just going to peace out.
you need some peace.
I need to figure out, make sure I'm committed to this podcast.
Right. A couple days. Might be just a day. Might be a couple of days.
Yeah,
you don't know.
We'll just record this part and then maybe like I'll let you know if we can finish tomorrow or next week.
I'll just be talking, and then when you don't respond, I'll just like, oh, maybe she hung up. Yeah. Maybe she went back to her apartment to think about some things.
Yes.
Oh gosh. Yeah, what an episode. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode.
Mm-hmm. How'd you feel? It was a good one for sure. Because they're back home and we get to see like the new apartments a little bit, but it was a lot more like seeing they went to each other's apartments to kind of scope them out as well, or houses.
Right.
And there's an expert.
Yes, exactly. I am just thinking, imagine if Pastor Cal hadn't been there for two of these couples.
Yeah.
It would have been a disaster.
And I don't remember. They didn't have an expert this early last season, did they?
Where are they? I think we were halfway through the season. We're like, where's Dr. Pepper?
And it was,
where's Pastor Cal?
It wasn't even Dr. Viviana, and she's like from there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking maybe last season they were too busy with Unmatchables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
Did they give up on that?
Right. I don't know. I mean, I think that's why he's there.
Maybe he's filming Unmatchables there and he's like, oh, okay, I can do it. I can show up.
I haven't seen any Instagram ads about Unmatchables casting. So I don't know if you're shooting that right now. But yes, we are here to talk about episode 7 of season 13 of Married at First Sight. And it was a very good one. I mean, I'm excited to go into all of it. So we're just going to hop right in and talk about one of the couples who, you know, we've been missing a little bit as the season has gone on so far, but boy, did they come back with a bang.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and get started with Zach and Michaela. And just to give you the overarching of what this episode was about. So episode 7 was them coming back from the honeymoon. They're back in Houston. They're moving into their brand new apartment, which is a high rise somewhere in Houston. And also Pastor Cal pays a visit to each of the couples to kind of check in. How are they doing now that they've met each other, known each other a little bit? And he's checking in to give them some advice. So it was a very much needed visit for some of the couples. So we are going to get into it. So, Zach and Michaela, if you haven't listened to the past episodes, Zach tested positive for COVID at the beginning of their honeymoon. So therefore, Michaela came back to Houston, and then Zach stayed in the Florida Keys until he felt better. And now he's coming back to Houston. So this is them reuniting since like a day after their wedding. Mm-hmm. and so... we have Zach telling us that he lied to Michaela and told her that he still tested positive because he wanted to surprise her.
That's and so, too far for me. Like,
exactly.
Why about something else?
Yes. Like, oh, my flight was delayed. Yes. I won't be there till tomorrow. Not COVID.
Because then you're going to think like, wait, you must have a really serious case here. This must be the Delta variant. Why hasn't it passed through your system yet?
Right. Like, why are you not in the hospital? Mm-hmm. Like, I was so confused why that was the best lie he could come up with. It was like, no. That's too fresh. Yeah. That is too close to home. No.
Right. But
He thought that was smooh. He's like, ooh, I'm going to surprise her and tell her I still tested positive. Because if I were her and I saw him, I'd be like, wait a second. You said you were positive.
Right. You're not going to have a positive feeling right away to see him.
Exactly. So he meets, I guess it's at her. Yeah, he comes to her apartment. Yeah, because her dog was there. So he comes to her apartment. He has roses. She's like, oh my gosh. She runs away, comes back. They hug, they embrace. They're very happy to see each other. He notices that she has a picture of them two together in a frame. And then she's also has prepared like a gift that she was going to give them for like their 1 week anniversary, which was like a gift set of like maybe just I guess things he would like. I couldn't even tell what they were. I couldn't tell if they were colognes or bath things, but she had prepared him a gift. I thought it was very sweet.
Yeah, at first I was like, this is setting yourself up to have to give gifts all the time if you're like, mm-hmm. ooh, 1 week instead of one month, you know, because we know the show does like a 1 month thing. But then I thought about it, it's like it's almost more like, okay, like it's an excuse to give a gift because now she knows who he is, so she can think about what he might like, or you know, plus true. They've been separated, so it's almost like, you know, like you go on a trip, you might bring something for your significant other or your kid or something, you know. So I could see
Amy, like, are you this prepared with things like she was so prepared. I would have been so caught off guard, like, oh my gosh, I wait till the last minute for a lot of things.
Yeah,
so I was impressed.
But, you know, like she's had to sit around and like just think about him. And so it's like, oh, she had time to go shopping. But it kind of reminds me of like a parallel with Bachelor in Paradise this week, where like one guy came to Paradise with like a gift ready to go. Didn't matter who it was going to be for. It was like, I have this gift ready. So it's kind of like the couples that like have to think of a gift for who they're marrying and they have no idea.
Right.
What does generic husband like? What does generic wife like?
Yeah, I have this charm where the heart represents our love. And this charm represents, that blew my mind when I saw that on Paradise. I thought it was a very sweet gesture. Yes, she did. I feel like she did set herself up. But we also got him meeting her dog, which was really good. He met Nova and he immediately liked her.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
Do we know all the names of the dogs? Because I thought it'd be fun to like kind of rank best dog names. I love dog names.
Yes. I do have them all sprinkled throughout here. I think across all of the couples.
Okay, so maybe by the time we get to the end, that can be.
Yes.
Our ranking, we have Nova.
Right. So we have Nova, and then we also have Bella, who is Zach's dog. Okay, I'm taking note of this so we can have a compiled list. So they move into their apartment in this high rise where all the couples are staying in the same apartment complex. So it's just what they started doing a few seasons ago. And so Bella and Nova meet and it went really well. Like they sniffed each other out a little bit and then started playing. I was like, that's the ideal situation.
Yeah. That seems like a more unlikely, especially that they're, I mean, I guess were they meeting in a neutral environment? It wasn't like one or the other. It was a new place, right? So
that's such a good point.
I think some of these might have introduced them in the wrong place or on the leash, you know? So,
Yeah. That's such a good point. I hadn't even thought of that because I was thinking like, oh, well, the vibe was good. So that's great. Because when I got a dog, my roommate had her dog at that point for maybe 7 months. And so he was about 9 months old. And then my dog that I was getting, Pepper, she was 2 months old. And so we knew bringing her in, like it could go really good or really well or really bad. And so what we did was my roommate took her dog on a walk. I brought Pepper into my to our apartment, let her sniff around, see what the place was like. And then my roommate brought her dog back. And so when he came back and he saw her, he was just like, whoa, who's that? And so he was more like curious and like they just smelled each other. And then it was just instant chemistry. And they've been best friends ever since.
Aww, so cute.
It's been the ideal situation. So I was very happy for them because that could be a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So let's see. So that went really well. And then they talk about, like, you know, like those quick questions you want to know about someone. So he's asking, like, okay, what time do you go to bed? And she's like, I go to bed whenever I want. And then they're just like chatting it up. And he brings up, you know, what do you think our first fight would be like? And he's like, are you the type of person to leave during fights? She's like, oh, during fights, I don't leave because I think that's emotionally abusive and that's abandonment. So why would you leave?
Like, foreshadowing.
Right? I was like, this is so, it felt out of place. I was like, why are they including this conversation? It's so random.
Right.
Why are you predicting your first fight? And then he said, he's like, I'm looking forward to our first fight. And she like looked at him like, that's weird.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was a very odd, just odd conversation. But that leads us to our next segment that we had with them, where it's one of those, like, the camera's up top and we're looking into their apartment, kind of like we have live feeds into their apartment. And we see that Zach leaves the apartment at 7:15 a.m. She gets up an hour later. She's walking around the apartment looking for Zach. She's like calling for his name. And then she comes out and she's like, has like cleaning wipes and like toilet paper in her hand. And she slams them on the table. And she tells us, like, he didn't leave a note or anything. So I'm out. And she grabs these two huge, like, IKEA bags full of her stuff, puts them on her shoulder and walks out of the apartment.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Before we knew, what do you think happened?
I thought he was gone all day. I saw that it was like an hour later, so I didn't know. I thought that maybe there was a fight we didn't see about the night before, and because we see him coming out of like the other room, so I thought, yeah, okay, they didn't sleep in the same room. There was something that was off camera that we didn't see, and that's why she like knew that he left for good or something. Like, I was thinking it's like Matt and Amber situation where it was like, there's just something where it felt off and it wasn't going well. And so she just like suspected, like, oh, he's not getting back to me. But then when we find out that it was just like 2 hours of not hearing from someone and just forgetting to put a note, which I could see not thinking about that, or thinking like, well, I don't want to text at 7:15 in the morning. It's weird, like, for him to not respond, I guess, to a text, but
right.
I don't get why it's like packing up and like, so I'm out.
right. Yeah. I was so confused. I was like, what happened? Yeah. Cause I was trying to place him in the apartment. I was like, he clearly didn't come from their room. So what is this? Well, it turns out he was going to put his dog, Bella, to bed in a different room. And then fell asleep while he was putting her to bed. So therefore, he slept in their second bedroom. And then he needed to take Bella to daycare. So he left at 7:15 a.m. to take Bella to daycare. And then when she woke up, he was gone. And apparently she had texted him. And he said, I watched Unfiltered, and he said that she texted him to say, like, hey, did you take Bella to daycare? And he responded, yes. And then he didn't hear back from her. And so it was like, he was like, okay, we're good. And then he came home and she was gone. And then he came home like at 9:15 and then she was gone. So it seems like a situation that was greatly blown out of proportion, but they just they don't communicate that well, because what we see is she comes back because it's time to meet with Pastor Kyle. She says, he's like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. And it's like, okay, don't gaslight him. Like, he knows something's wrong. Your stuff's gone. You haven't been home. Come on. And then he's like, Michaela, what's wrong? And she explains, she woke up, her husband wasn't there. He explained the situation. He fell asleep in the room. And he was like, do you think I was like not coming back? Like, I was never coming back? And she tells him she thinks it was all intentional. And he's like, why would I do that? And she's like, no, I see. You just make decisions by yourself. And it's enduring, but it's also irritating. And so he said, well, I find it really funny that we just talked about how you handle situations. And in this very situation, you packed up and left. It's like, was she lying to him, or is like, why? How does she just completely do the opposite?
I know. I don't know. Maybe it's like the projecting of like, I'm going to say this so that you do not do it to me, because obviously it was not cool for it to be done to her.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that was exactly it. Like she wanted him to know that in a fight is not the move, but she's not above it. So Pastor Cal arrives in the middle of their argument, and right before Pastor Cal arrives, she called him a lie, basically a goddamn lie. And he says, like, I've reached my limit with talking about this situation. And she's like, wait, so where's the resolution? Like, we can't just end an argument. But Pastor Cal arrives. And imagine a world where this is season 12 and Pastor Cal doesn't arrive. It would have just been a terrible situation. They would not have come to a resolution. They would have just ended up despising each other because they wouldn't have been able to communicate properly.
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah. They were like, they would never would have, like, I can just think of so many other couples that this would have helped in past seasons.
Yes.
Imagine Jake and Haley.
Yes. Literally, when they arrived to the apartment, they were hostile with each other, Jake and Haley. Mm-hmm. And imagine if Pastor Cal had arrived that day to have a conversation, or mm-hmm. the next day, mm-hmm. it could have been helpful. Mm-hmm. So Pastor Cal sits down. They're sitting miles apart from each other on the couch. They couldn't be far, like, they're both on opposite armrest of this long couch. And Pastor Cal's like, y'all are sitting pretty far apart. And she, Michaela's like, yeah, I see y'all matched me with a man that's challenging, dynamic, and strong. And he was like, and Pastor Cal was like, yeah, just like you. And then Zach's trying to, like, ease the tension and says, like, okay, like, we had an argument before this, but it changes nothing. You're still the most caring and loving girl I've ever been around. And she's doing this, like, squinty eye thing at him. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, the SpongeBob meme. Like, squinty eyed. Yeah. She's basically looking like that. And he's like, okay, I can't, like, what? I can't, basically saying he can't talk to her when she's doing that. And they're like, what is this face? She basically explains, like, she's has her guard up. And she brings up losing her dad and, like, the fact that she's having to, like, put her vulnerability into another man is hard. And it's making her nervous to bring her guard down when there are situations like this. And so then there was a moment where Pastor Cal urged him to inch closer, and she did like a move away thing, but she was smiling, but it was like a, okay, I don't want to talk to you right now, but, you know, I still care about you. Mm-hmm. And he was completely, like, turned off by that and, like, moved away and was like, okay, no, I can't comfort you because you don't want it. And thankfully Pastor Cal was there to say, no, she wants you to comfort her. She's just not comfortable with it. And so, mm-hmm. basically Pastor Cal was able to explain in the situation, like, she wants his closeness, but it's difficult to receive it because of everything she's been through. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we left them. So it was just like, I don't know. Was she giving off vibes that she didn't want it, or, like, could you understand kind of how she was being?
Yeah. I guess I could understand both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see myself doing, like, it's hard to be, like, quick to be like, okay, I forgive you. Or, like, when you're in that mm-hmm. mode of, oh, like, I'm still upset, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah, so during that entire conversation, I just kept thinking, I'm so thankful Pastor Cal is here.
But I thought Zach was, like, pretty defensive right away.
He was.
He got so mad, like, so quick about what what I thought was a reasonable reason. I didn't think it was reasonable for her to pack up and be done. Like, it would be really weird to come back 2 hours later and be like, wait, what happened? But I didn't hear anything like, oh, I really, like, it didn't cross my mind to put a note up, or, you know, they're in a new place. They probably had no paper or pen, you know? So feel like there's some reason, but, or like something, like I was driving, I didn't have my, wasn't checking my phone, something to reassure a little more, or it won't happen again, or something.
Something. Yeah. On Unfiltered, Gil weighed in, and not sure we should be getting all the advice from Gil, but he did make a good point. Like, they both were in the wrong, and he's like, in a marriage, you have to over communicate, especially to a stranger. You know, it's not just some casual thing you can do. But Zach did point out that the night before, like before Zach went to put Bella to bed, he was saying, or Michaela said, don't ever wake me up. And so he said, like, okay, I won't ever wake you up. And so that's what was in his mind that morning when he was leaving, like, don't wake her up. But I don't think he was thinking like, oh, I could text her. That's not necessarily going to wake her up. That's not me shaking her like, hey, I'm about to leave. So I think it was just a learning opportunity. Did she overreact? Oh, absolutely. Should she not have moved out? Absolutely. But hopefully this is a step in the right direction now that they've gotten this quote unquote first fight out of the way.
I think so. Yeah. I'm just going back to like picturing those old previews and like, I don't think we've seen everything dramatic that was shown. So I'm still like, is there another shoe that's going to drop? Or is it always going to be something where it's like a really dramatic overreaction and then it's fine.
Very true. I don't know. I mean, because we see that, like, okay, I mean, it's clear that she has a temper of sorts. And we see that he is he would rather avoid rather than attack the issue head on, because he was very okay with putting that conversation to rest rather than seeing how he could have handled it better. They're kind of not a great recipe for a huge success, but as long as the experts continue to weigh in throughout, they may be able to get to a good place. So where would you rate them?
Yeah, it's interesting because now it's like finally getting back to seeing some real content with them. I've seen more warning signs that they're a little more volatile, maybe leaning back on jumping to negative conclusions, things that maybe happened in past relationships. So I think I'll give them a 4 for now.
Okay. I agree. Well, so for anyone who hasn't heard this rating system before, 1 is... we think they're definitely going to divorce on decision day, and a 5 would be like, definitely stay together. So I also agree on a 4. I think that, I'm actually going to say a 3, because their behaviors in this argument made me realize that at any point, if something gets a little too real, either one of them is capable of saying, I'm done, I'm out. And there are other people that I don't see that from. Like, I don't think that they would be capable of saying that. And just like completely giving up on it. But they're both very headstrong, and they may be stubborn. So I think if something comes up that could cause a rift, that's very possible. So we'll see. Which couple do you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about Johnny and Val, because this couple also had kind of like a dramatic scene that I alluded to at the beginning podcast. Johnny was out. So I was really caught off guard by their dynamics coming back. And it just seemed like Johnny maybe just needed some time, but he didn't strike me as someone that would just kind of abandon early on, like the process. Maybe because he knew Val from before, like maybe that made him feel more comfortable that he could just like get away with doing something like that, and that she wouldn't like totally like pull on Michaela and then pack up her things, you know, because it's like she has that trust with him, and she kind of would, like, she was just like, okay, I'm not gonna stop you, you know, like that's what you want to do. But yeah, he basically like said, like, I'm leaving after this. He didn't stay in their new place that first night, and I don't know how long he was gone, but
yeah,
it was weird.
It was weird that, well, so like when they were coming back from the honeymoon, like they have those little scenes of everybody, and he recorded her snoring. I was like, oh my gosh, she's gonna be so mad about that. It was like, did you not listen to anything she's told you about how she feels about her snoring? I'm like, the fact that you just recorded her snoring, now it's on the episode. She's probably not going to know it's there until it aired this week. It's like, oh my God. But before, so some context from Unfiltered, he did say right before they walked into their apartment that they had an, they didn't have an argument, but right before they walked into their apartment, she was really excited and she was just like really giddy and had her hands up like in a ball in front of her body and was just like and like very excited that they were going into their place. And so then he told her, he said, I think he's like, that's very childish.
And so, I missed that part that he said that, because
He said that on Unfiltered. He said that's what we didn't see.
Oh, okay. It was on Unfiltered. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the show kind of started off with them just coming into their apartment.
Right. So that would have set him off. Like, that could be the reason why he's like, I just need to like figure this out or something. Mm-hmm. I remember an earlier episode of Unfiltered where he talked about that, like, their kisses were kind of like brother sister or something, like, so he wasn't feeling that passion, so we kind of get to the bottom of that when they meet with Pastor Cal. There's some intense discussions here that I think they're just on a different plane because of their past history, so they have some things where they're like further along and but other ways where it's like a negative almost because they're just like bringing up stuff that wouldn't come up, I guess, yet. Maybe it's a good thing. I'm not sure, but he comes back with Thai food, so
yes,
understanding. Well,
before he left, they did kind of try to highlight that she was picking on a lot of things in the apartment. Like, she didn't like there was an ice machine. She didn't like that they had an electric stovetop, which, fair. I'm a gas stove person myself. That was like my one deal breaker when I like was finding a place to stay, was like, does it have a gas stove? So relatable. Okay. Fair.
I almost wonder though, like, if I'm married to Johnny, I would feel like I want to point out things like that because I feel like he'd be on the same wavelength. So it's hard to know what he like, what's acceptable to him or not. Like, what,
right,
you know, like, because he's very particular about certain things, but not everything.
Yeah.
So, because she said she anyone feels that has like, exact same quirks.
Yeah, exactly. And he even points out like she takes the fun out of things and that he was like, and then he like made one comment that one thing he prefers in a housemate is to shower before bed. And I was like,
yeah,
a housemate? You mean your wife?
Yeah. Well, doesn't that could take the fun out of things. That takes away some spontaneity. If you come back from date night, it's like, get in the shower. Maybe that's his thing, but like, maybe she just wants to have a good night and just crash.
Right. He's no crashing under Johnny's terms.
No. So I just think Val is very forgiving. She looks at these things as like very like, okay, like if he needs that. It didn't seem like she took that part of it personally, that he needed some space and was just sort of confident about it.
Didn't it feel like that was just the next night?
Yeah, maybe it was just one night.
Because she was like, I haven't seen my husband since last night, or I haven't talked to my husband since last night. And then that evening he comes over with Thai food. So I'm like,
Yeah. And you know what? Remember when Pastor Kyle was there and he's like, well, I've talked to you each separately. So Pastor Kyle's making it seem like he's doing more work behind the scenes. Maybe Johnny just needed like a little bit of like a reality check and like, no, this is what I signed up for. This is what I wanted. But that was like a convenient way to be like, okay, I just need to breathe for a minute and be away. I think probably a lot of it's being away from the cameras too.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah. And then their chat with Pastor Cal brought up something I wasn't expecting, but we kind of alluded to that. Because they're talking about intimacy and Johnny's very hesitant to like hurt her feelings and bring something up. But Bao actually likes that about him, that he is honest. So he's hesitant to mention, you know, kind of what's hindering their intimacy, but is really that he feels like she's childish, or that like he's dealing with someone that's like, I don't know, like in their moments of even when she reminds him of like a little kid when they're trying to be intimate, which totally makes sense. But it seems like he's dwelling on that, because the clips they showed were not like, it wasn't like, we've seen baby talk before. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like anything like really extreme. And he was even bringing it up as like, oh, when she gets excited about things, she gets giddy. And then Bao, I felt so bad for her, because she's like, you know, I don't show that side to a lot of people. Like, so she's not even like, she doesn't even feel comfortable really like being so like silly and giddy just in general. So the fact that she is comfortable with him, and then she's like, I feel like he's like trying to take my joy away, you know? So, and then he's the one that's like saying that herself. She doesn't make things fun. And so there's a lot of like, oh, it's so unfortunate that it's that way, or, you know, that they're stuck on this.
Right.
And I just feel like I'd be so in my head if I heard something like that, you know, like,
yeah, it's like a key characteristic of yours.
Yeah.
To say like, that's a turn off.
Yeah. So, I thought Pastor Cal was like a VIP in this one though, because I didn't know how he would respond to that. And it's kind of a unique, I've never really heard that come up before. So for him to just kind of be like, you know, Johnny, this is your issue, not hers. Like, you don't, you don't need to change. And like, she's a grown woman, like, you know, she's not a kid, you know? So,
basically saying that Johnny needs to shift his perspective.
Yeah.
And I thought that I was like, oh my gosh, how does Pastor Cal respond to this?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a perfect response. It's like, yeah, you're so right. That is his issue.
Yeah.
Not her issue. Keep being yourself.
Yeah.
Don't let him dim your light like, Claire and Ryan.
Yeah. So I think that is probably, I don't know, just something in general that was probably helpful. It seems like Johnny maybe just gets in his head, and like, that's in his head now, and he can't move past it. So something that he needs to work on with some of these other things too, probably, that he hasn't compromised on, or he's in his head about the shower thing. And so, yeah, I thought that was really helpful to have Pastor Cal in that scenario. And
for sure,
they end up back in the same bed. It seems like things are going well again with them.
Yeah, hopefully. On Unfiltered, Jamie Otis did ask, she's like, so what was it like after Pastor Cal left? He was like, well, when someone else is around, like when we have a third party around, it's like we're two students and our teacher is there, so we're behaving. But then as soon as the teacher leaves, then he was like, well, Bao is just Bao. He said she cares a lot about what people think about her. He's like, so she was talking about that. And he's like, where you either like me or you don't. And so I didn't know how to read that response, because it wasn't like he went into the details of what they talked about or how she reacted or she was mad. He just was explaining that she cares what people think about her. And so I'm like, And he didn't really say it in a positive light. So I was a little concerned about that.
Yeah, I agree. And the preview for next week looks like
I know.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. What did it show for them to?
Like, it was like bleep.
Oh, he
like,
was crying.
He was crying. Yeah. He was outside. And Jose was like working through with something.
Yeah. So. Relationship expert, according to Johnny, Jose came over to help comfort him. And I'm like, what's happening? And Johnny thinks like he's, I don't know what he was reacted to, but we will see tears from Johnny next week. And so we don't know why. That was interesting. But a couple of the things we did get from them was they went to each other's houses. So a couple of things to highlight was like, Johnny has a Tesla. So cool. They both have bidets, which same. Mm-hmm. It's like bidet. If you don't have a bidet, look on Amazon, invest. You won't regret it. And they both had the similar characteristic of having multiples of the same thing. So she had multiples of the same shoes, but in like slightly different colors. And then he had multiples of like the same shirts. And he was just like, oh, they were on sale. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in their places, it seemed like they were so similar. And then they had, like, a mini lightsaber duel. So it was like, if you have an impression based on them alone by that busy, you would think, oh, they are super compatible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think the experts were, like, thinking it'd be smooth sailing. And that's kind of what it seemed like from the wedding, you know? So,
yeah.
But... yeah, because of their like comfort in communicating with each other, they didn't have a typical honeymoon. He mentioned that like more stuff is coming up because they, I think, have that like they were just having advanced kind of fights in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny had said that if this had happened in any other dating relationship, I would have been out by now. He kind of reiterated that again.
Yeah. Oh gosh, these two. I don't know what to think about them. It's like they're getting in their own way.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're just overthinking or what, but what rating would you give them?
I would give them a 4 as well. I think there's some warning signs here, but I was encouraged by the fact that Johnny was not gone very long and he had like a really positive attitude when he came back, and he explains kind of what he was thinking in his absence, and you know, he doesn't storm off or anything. So we'll see what next week brings. How about you?
Yeah, I'm also a 4. Just because of those warning signs, it's like, yes, I can truly see why the experts match them, but it's like they can't, or at least Johnny can't. I don't see a situation where Bao is walking away, but I can very well see a situation where Johnny just shuts down and is like, because on the next time on, it almost seemed like he was trapped. Like he doesn't want to be in this situation. There's nothing he can do about it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. And I just think he's getting in his own way instead of just enjoying and having a great time. Because imagine a world where he didn't know Bao before, but it was still Bao. But they hadn't met. I feel like he would be enjoying himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
It's like, why not? Okay, cool. So we both are at 4s. So we've been consistent 5s. I was at a 4 for them on week 5 or episode 5, but now we're both at 4. So we'll see what happens. So next, we will talk about a couple that continues to just be very interesting, but they're both boldly themselves. So we're going to get into Mirla and Gil. Gil, when they moved into her apartment, Gil picked her up and carried her over the threshold, kind of like all the husbands did the wedding night. Mm-hmm. And he thought, like, he's like, we got to do it for our new place. He's like, even if we move into a new house, we'd have to do it. Like, it's just, it's a tradition now. And she thought it was so corny. She's like, it's a sweet thought, but very corny.
But if I'm Gil, I'm thinking she's going to expect this. Like, this is, she's the princess. I have to do this. Yeah. And she's going to notice if I don't do it.
So, right.
Oh my gosh. She's another one. You can't really predict what she's going to be particular about.
Right. Just like certain things. It's just like, they just need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the things with them could be assumptions that he's making.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they do encounter issues, it's because of assumptions rather than just, he should just continue to be, he's a straight up guy. He's an honest guy in terms of like saying what's on his mind. So he should just do that with everything with her and don't assume, because he might assume the wrong thing one day and she'll get mad.
Mm-hmm.
She did really like the apartment. And Gil was Gil was like, that says a lot. Like, mm-hmm. can you imagine if they had like put them in anywhere else that wasn't up to her standards? She would have been like, I'm staying in my apartment for the 8 weeks. So that gives y'all a picture of how nice the place is that they're staying.
I can see the production scrambling, we have to get somewhere, like as soon as they they could go out either way. I guess they could get somewhere like just to make her miserable, but if they're like, she will not accept this apartment, we won't get any footage of her. So
imagine they like in when they were in the Florida Keys, they had picked another place and then they realized how picky she was and said how it was a retirement home. They're like, oh my gosh, no, we have to find 5 apartments.
Break our lease.
Yes, right. Pronto.
If the producers need more ideas for drama, they could do like kind of like Bachelor in Paradise on Claire and Tayshia season. Bennett had like a really ritzy hotel room. It was like a suite, like a villa, and all the other guys were like, sharing rooms, and they could do something like that. Like one couple gets like this luxe apartment, like they get the penthouse.
Yeah.
You know, like the couples are always comparing, like, oh, they're more affectionate, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. It's like, what? Why'd they get this? Right. Or Mirla comes in with, like, I'm going to have this stipend. I'm going to pay $2,000 more a month in rent from my own pocket, like my wedding dress.
Exactly. Oh, that would be hilarious. The only problem she did have with the apartment was that she's like, is this a queen? She thought the bed was very tiny.
Oh, yeah. She would have been perfect. Like, if, let's say Jose was, you know, like more her physical type, I think they would have matched a lot more.
That was such a pleasant way to put it. I thought you were going to go for like, if Jose was like maybe like 6 inches taller or something. Yeah. Yes. It's more her physical type. Yes. Yeah,
because he's ready to like, I don't know. He doesn't want to spend all the money, but he's got a spacious home. And like, I think combining their two assets together, like that would fit her lifestyle a lot more.
Exactly. So speaking of her lifestyle, Gil goes to her apartment and he kind of sees how she's living. She has a king size bed. She loves herself. There are pictures from trips that she's been to on her wall in her bathroom.
So, was that like, the bathroom? I wasn't sure if it was like a hallway or.
No, like, I think it was the bathroom. Because it was like a picture over the toilet, but then there also a picture on like the wall between the toilet and the shower. I think it was.
See, I thought it was like a little manifesting hallway or area where she just like had all these like, this is me doing yoga in all these countries. And I mean, Dr. Pepper remarked on that same little area, you know, it's like the Mirla shrine to herself. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Usually like you go on trips, you think like, oh, like just maybe like make art type prints of the scenery.
Yeah. Like, now this would be perfect above my bed if I posed like this.
Yeah.
And Gil noticed him. He's like, you love yourself. They look through her closet. She has some very expensive shoes everywhere. She said the most expensive shoes she has in there are $1,000. So, of course, she has red bottoms. And she just has a lot of clothes and a lot of shoes. And she points out that she has bought, she buys maybe 2 to 3 pairs of expensive shoes 2 to 3 times a year.
So. You know, when your feet grow out of them.
Right.
You know how your feet change sizes throughout the year.
Right. Yeah, in your 30s. Mm-hmm. He tells us he just wants her to understand that like their relationship, their marriage comes before all the clothes. And mm-hmm. like, he, because at this point he is thinking she's very materialistic, mm-hmm. Which I don't know. I mean, I definitely can see that view, but I can also see her point of just like, I have the money, I save what I need to save, so I spend what I want to spend, which mm-hmm. is what single person doesn't think that way.
Right.
So yeah, it's just like, if you can buy those expensive clothes and expensive shoes, then, and you want that, do it.
Well, like Pastor Howe would say, it's like, this is your single. These are your single right. activities. So yeah, do it single now decisions. While you can.
Yeah, exactly. I think at this point he might need the reassurance that like, yes, that's who I am present day, but I guess he also does have her saying like, I don't want to change. Mm-hmm. I would think like she just needs to reassure him somehow that like, that's not first and foremost in her life. I think he's just thinking she would care more about a bag than him. Mm-hmm. Which she's just now getting to know him. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. So she goes to his apartment, and this is big because she's meeting Nova. So dog number 3. So she's meeting Hype. So she's meeting Hype for the first time, and she has already said previously that she doesn't want to walk the dog. She doesn't want to mess with poop. That's where she stands. Mm-hmm. And so she immediately walks in, says it smells like dog, and Hype is like very excited. But then Gil tells Hype to go to his bed, and he does right away. So he's well-trained. She points out water on the floor, saying that, oh my gosh, he slobbers. And then even the producer asked, okay, so what's Gil's dog's name? And Mirla could not remember. She was thinking. And then she's like, oh, Hype. Gil embraced the dog, and she's like, oh my gosh, you kiss him? And he's like, no, I don't kiss him on the lips. He kisses me, but no kissing on the lips. And she tells us that that's just going to push their kiss a lot further. And how did you think she handled this dog?
It was like a non-entity to her. Like, she was just like, it's just like a, she treated it like Jose treating like the water bottles and like Rachel's apartment. Like, just what is this doing here? Like,
yeah.
I didn't sign up for this. Like, it was this huge nuisance, and it's like, not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't have anything nice to say. And mm-hmm. it was just like, I didn't ask for this. And yeah, it was like, as a dog lover, this is not something we would stand for. Like, that would be right. something that would let me know that this, if you were just not married to person and dating them, that this is not like, yeah, I'm not attracted to this.
Yeah, exactly. And Gil did, so this is the only real call out for them on Unfiltered, was Gil did say that he doesn't let Hype in the kitchen. I think he also said he doesn't let him get on the couch. Basically, there are a lot of limitations he has with Hype as far as like living. And so Jamie Otis was like, well, I guess of all people to marry with a dog, you'd be the one. Because I know I'm not like that. Pepper, she goes everywhere. I think I just don't allow her to go on the table. She's not even tall enough to reach the kitchen counters. But like, we chill on the couch together. I mean, she's kennel trained. She sleeps in her kennel, but we snuggle on my bed before she goes to her kennel. So I think he's the ideal dog owner for her, for Mirla.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's see if there was anything else at his place. That really, that was that was the main thing for at his apartment. Was,
I mean, right away, she's like, there's water on the floor, it's drool, yeah, you know, like, yeah, she's just ready to pounce on anything.
Yeah. He did show her a big picture of his dad.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, my dad had this up at his place. And he's like you. And she's like, how? And he's like, having pictures of himself up at his place. She's like, okay, well, she was like, then they were trying to find someone for you to bring that out of you, like, to, yeah, just be a little more self-interested, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the Pastor Cal visit. They talk about, Pastor Cal gets right into it, started talking about finances. Gil thinks that, like, maybe she has about $70,000 worth of stuff in her closet. She admits she has about 10 red bottoms in there. And then we basically get to Pastor Cal giving advice about, like, okay, you have single decisions and you have marriage decisions. So you just got to realize now you got to start making marriage decisions.
I love all the lingo that Pastor Cal has, like,
right? He came in there.
He knew, like, the red bottoms, like, I'm like, oh, the unmatchables money is coming in, like, right. His wife is like, oh, I've got more, right, budget now. Like, didn't, mm-hmm, know him. He wasn't like with it on all these things before, so
right.
And then, like,
it's helping,
like,
him out.
What did he say? Like, she cheeked you. Like, he's got his own, yeah, lingo.
Yeah.
She cheeked, yes, you a few times.
Right. Yeah, so they started talking about physical intimacy and how they haven't kissed and how they just been doing, she's been cheeking him, just doing kisses on the cheek. And Pastor Cal's like, so wait, is there like no sexual chemistry, or like, do y'all want to have sex? And of course, Gil wants to. And Mirla was more so like, eventually I want to. And so Gil was just like, okay, well, that's good to hear. And even on Unfiltered, he did say, like, he wanted to kiss, but he didn't want it to be a pity kiss. He wanted her to kiss when she wanted to kiss, which is why he wasn't trying to push it, which is, mm-hmm, fair.
Mm-hmm.
And Gil did say that he has already told Mirla, if they make it to decision day and there has been no kiss, then he's going to ask for a divorce, because he said he can go until decision day with no sex. But, which she has said, like, she just needs more time to get to know him for them to get there. But he said for a kiss, like, if he said the fact that if she made it that far without kissing him, he would start to think, like, oh, do you even like me? Mm-hmm. Because, like, even a peck, you would think, okay, someone who's interested in me would at least give me a peck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we saw that as the preview, like, it was some dramatic thing, but I think it's a fair point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very fair. But yeah, that was all we got for them on this episode. On the next time on, we just see him call her extra, which, yeah, I think she knows she's extra.
She's gonna like that.
And
she likes being called the diva, so it's like the same thing, basically.
Right. Exactly. And princess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was pretty much it for this episode. I'm trying to see, we did get a reaction about Gil in terms of like the politics conversation. I'm trying to find it, from a listener who said that Gil was, oh, maybe it was on Instagram, basically pointing out that they believe that, but because they live in Houston, they know that there have been policies put in place for firefighters that Gil may be against that like were like Democratic policies, but they believe that Gil is a Democrat. So that to provide some context. Yes.
Yeah, I can see the show not showing like any specific discussions of like, oh, the mayor, you know, like,
yeah,
but that could have been like what they were talking about just before that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. Let's see what. Okay, I finally found it. So it was from our listener Bethany. So she said, she thinks, oh, so okay, so the mayor cut firefighters' budgets and pensions and all of that. So, okay, that makes sense. Why he may be saying some of the things he was saying. So I would say that I would rate them, I'm gonna rate them a 4. I was a little bit more impressed with them this week in terms of like the way they look at each other is very enduring. I think it's not, I know I still have in the back of my mind the friend zone thing, but I can see her getting there, like wanting to be more affectionate with him.
Yeah, she didn't like hesitate at all in terms of saying like, no, like she said, it'll happen. Like I want, but I think it's almost like her tone or the way she says things is not super reassuring. So it's like, she's a little withholding, even just like being like effusive about like, no, definitely. Like I'm attracted to you. She doesn't do that. It's just like,
yeah,
I can see it. Like, she's just very like, kind of, she has her way that she communicates and she wants to kind of like keep you guessing, I think.
Right. To kind of keep that. It's like she's trying to keep that upper hand a little bit.
Yeah. Do you ever hear of like there's like some popular book a while ago, but it was like the rules, like ways to keep a man or something. And it was all those things kind of like that, like make him give you gifts and like never let him do this and always do this. And it was a very specific dynamic. And I think maybe she has read that book at some point.
Gotcha. What did you rate them?
You know what? There wasn't, aside from the dog, there wasn't anything like really alarming to me, because even though like they haven't kissed and like he said that they would get divorced, like she didn't seem to have any problem with him saying that. You know, like she's not worried about it. So I'm going to give them a 4 this week. I think I'm going 4s. Yeah. That's what I'm feeling. I think they're like, they're doing their own thing, but they like kind of weirdly are lining up. Like he's putting up with things that maybe any other guy would not. And, and I think she's just like, she likes him. And, you know, there's certain things she doesn't like about like the situation. Like she wouldn't have a dog if she had her way, but she's kind of making these comments like, oh, I want to be married, so I have to compromise. Like she's acknowledging that.
Yeah.
But she's never going to like admit, even if she like were to fall in love with the dog, I don't think she's going to admit like, oh, like I was wrong. You know, no.
Yeah. No way. Okay. Awesome. So which couple, we have 2 couples left. Which couple would you like to talk about next?
Everybody's favorite couple, Brett and Ryan.
Right? Oh, I wish we got, like, I wish every segment was about them.
This is an interesting one because I feel like we got a lot more insight. Again, another example of when Pastor Cal comes in, that's how you actually learn something about how things are going, because I don't think we would have learned anything about them if an expert hadn't shown up and asked them like, hey, do you guys like each other? So like, but before that we see them seeing each other's places, and yeah, I don't know what it is with guys and like having brown, black, gray, no color in their apartment. At least Johnny got the yellow pillows, but She was, Brett was like, there's like 12 shades of brown in here. Like it needs, needs my touch, you know? But otherwise she liked his place until you go into the bedroom and there's a deer head staring at her with like a medal around its neck. And he like says he dresses it up and she's like, wait, did you kill this one? He's like, yeah, why would I put up one I didn't kill? I think that was a normal question for Brett to ask. Like, I think people get them at thrift stores or they just like, it's like a decor thing. But yeah, this is like, luckily she said like, are you okay with, is this a deal breaker? Like, do you have to have it here? And he's like, oh, it can go in the garage.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, fine. So, and we see some of their banter. Not my cup of tea because the fact that he was like joking about her dog and stuff and like, what did he said something about like how like, if their dogs didn't get along, he was like, well, you know, your dog is 11. It's had a good life. Like, joking about like putting it down or something. I don't know. Yeah. Like, that's not cool.
Right.
And then she made a comment like, you're not putting Baxter's head on the wall. And then he like laughed. Like, I'm just like, don't even talk about this. Like,
no, I'm like, so that's something I would not even want to cross my mind.
Yeah. Like, your dog's 11. It's doing well. It's like a little dog. It's fine. Like, and they did introduce the two dogs and the two dogs look very cute together, like aesthetically, because it's like a giant version and a little version of the same dog.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It wasn't like anything too major, but they did have both the dogs on the leash when they met. So
yeah, they were outside.
Yeah. Ryan was noticing that Brett was getting really anxious about it. But it wasn't like, I don't know, Haley and Jake, when there's like four dogs to deal with, or it didn't seem on the level of like Eric and Virginia, where he's like really picking apart her dog's temperament and stuff like that. So it seemed like something that like the dogs just need to get used to each other kind of thing.
Right.
It's kind of like being married at first sight. You can't get picture like, you can picture it being like, oh, they're going to like love each other right away. And then you're going to set yourself up for being disappointed.
So. Yeah. Because Baxter snapped a little bit on Macy.
Okay. So we got our name list going here. and then, yeah, I think they have their talk with Pastor Cal. Oh, and then Brett, well, I remember that he commented about, or what Ryan commented about Brett. I'm still going to keep doing this. that Brett's apartment was really colorful and he liked that. I can use a little more color in my life. So I think he's like, he realizes it. Like, he wouldn't say he's boring, but I think he realizes that he
he's a little spicy.
Yeah, he's a little more. So
I thought it was really cute that like when he went to her place and Baxter was like really excited and running around, that Ryan was like, parkour, which is like from The Office.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. I was like, oh my gosh, did Ryan just make me laugh?
Right.
Shocked. So,
yeah. And I think that's what Brett tells Pastor Cal, that, you know, he has a dry sense of humor, but she's like, she gets it, and that they're getting along that way, that they kind of like third graders flirting is what Ryan said. But it really takes Pastor Cal to like get them to admit like how they feel about each other. And then he'll catch Brett smiling. And she's like, well, I've never heard like him say that. Like, cause Ryan made some comment that he's like into like what, like how they are physically or whatever, even though they haven't had sex, but like, and then that she says she has a crush on him and that she feels safe with him. So all these things that seems like they are not, I think in person, they are not getting past the third grade, like ribbing of each other kind of thing. So I think they need that third party to get them to be like, oh, like, do we have anything serious going on here? Like, do you see potential? Like, they couldn't say the word love in front of each other, even like hypothetically.
Right.
So it's a little immature, but maybe it's a little cute too. Cause it's like, okay, like, oh, we kind of like each other. And, I could see it getting there to the next step, and then he has to call it out. Like, what is that?
What is it?
Like, I don't know what you're talking about. So, and he says that they look good together. So, of course, that's always important.
Yeah. And I feel like their major difference is like lifestyles. And I think it's a matter of if they're open to it, like if she's open to like learning about a little bit of the country things he likes to do, then they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Like you said earlier, that was a fair question for her about the deer, because that's not my first. Like if I see a deer head, I'm not thinking, oh, you killed. And I lived in Houston. I've lived in Texas my whole life. Mm-hmm. It's like not everybody is just living the country lifestyle out hunting. And
yeah, it's really a pet peeve of mine when people are like, oh, I like the outdoors, and they're talking about like that they kill things. It's like, yeah. There's a lot of like, that's not the definition of being an outdoorsy person. Like that's kind of like your nice positive spin on it, but like, that's hunting. Like outdoors is enjoying nature, not killing it. So that's just where I stand on it. So like she could even be an outdoorsy person. She's just a not in general, but like, and not be cool with hunting, you know, like,
yeah.
So but they didn't get into like the political side of things at all, so that's something that could rear its head again, but it wasn't really brought up this time around. It's more like just a lifestyle thing. And he also said that he tells all his friends that she's like just such a cool person, and so I thought that was really nice, because before
she said that was the first she's heard of it.
So I thought I was glad that he didn't focus on the red hair thing again, like, because I really thought that's what he's going to tell Pastor Cal, like, well, I just never pictured myself with a red haired person. So he's moved past that. He actually has some content, like some deeper things to talk about, I think. So
he hasn't moved past the plane and the kayaking, since he did mention that she is high strung with both of those, and now again with the dog. So I was like, the next thing that she's high strung about, he's gonna be like, well, she was also high strung on the plane, kayaking with the dogs, and this.
But the dogs is like, to me, like a different thing, because it's like you just want to protect. She's got the little dog, you want to protect it, and you just don't know what's going to happen when like two dogs that don't know each other, like you never met this other dog. But I did like that later on we see her like, oh, it's so cool, I get a husband and a dog, and like I always want another dog. So she's got like the best attitude about it.
I love that. I thought that was so funny, because it's like you just got a free dog and that you love already, and it's so I saw a funny thing about like this, how to make sayings like kill two birds with one stone, make it more positive. So feed two birds with one scone or something like that.
That's cute.
I thought that was really cute.
Anything else about them, or are you ready to rate them?
I think that's it. That's it. I'm ready to rate.
Okay, what would you give them?
I'm gonna go with 3. I think it'll be very telling when their friends meet next week.
Yeah, because he's been talking her up to the friends.
Right. And it'll be interesting if the friends are like, oh yeah, it's like y'all are so good for each other, if they're not going to jail or what, because if they just continue to move at the pace that they're moving, I mean, it's married at first sight. They only have 8 weeks. So in a normal world, they probably wouldn't have to move as quickly. But if they continue to be shy, even about the word love, that only tells me that they have a long road to go. And I just don't know if they'll be able to get to where they need to get in order to stay married.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm a 3 as well. Some positive signs, some positive progressions this episode, but I feel like they're skirting around some bigger issues. They're just kind of comfortable with each other. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it could be kind of like Dave and Amber, is that who it was? That like they were like, a attracted to each other, but then didn't like, they weren't like for the long term.
Right, right. Like you need a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So last couple, last but certainly not least, we have Rachel and Jose. So this episode for them, they Jose started out by saying, like, I got a spitting image of myself, and of course I date myself. I'm like, of course you would, Jose. We know this.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say she's just like him. So I feel like he's looking for the qualities about himself in her and is like, okay, wait, yeah. She is like this, because there was a point where she was looking in his house and she saw his board of his budgets, of his whiteboard. And she was, and he was like, you have something like this, right? Something like this, something exactly like this. She's like, no, I don't. So I'm like, is he just hearing things? And then once it goes in his ear, he transforms it to be similar to Jose. And then he's like, oh, that's it.
Yeah. I don't know. He's just so quick to pick up on any little thing, like the toothpaste and all these water bottles that she was keeping for an emergency. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, she had like a spotless place, but... Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
And he points out the okay, yes. So they move into their apartment, and we find out that Jose doesn't believe in dishwashers because he says he can just do it for himself. He's fine with that.
Yeah.
And also we find out that she sets like four alarms in the morning. But it's not like what I typically hear, and kind of what I do, is like, okay, if I need to get up at 6:30, like I know 6:30 is the time I need to get up, I might start an alarm at 6:20, maybe another at 6:25, 6:28, and then 6:30, like a couple of minutes apart. But she does four alarms 15 minutes apart. So she needs to get up at 6. She starts at 5 and then does another one at 5:15, 5:30, 5:45, and 6. and so like, I'm like, that's very disrupting for some, like, because she does it to get up to go to the gym. And so I understand the concern from his part for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you like a one alarm person?
I'm always snoozing. My phone does look a little crazy because I have a thing against, like, I don't like doing like 6:30. I like to do like 6:28. So like I have like weird ones like that. And then I'll use. I don't delete out the alarm, so I can basically just scroll through my alarms and find something at any time of day. Yeah. So like today, I had to be on a call at a certain time. And so I was like, oh, I have an alarm for 3:25 PM. Perfect. Mm-hmm. That will remind me for my 3:30 call, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'll do the recurring one. So, but I wouldn't do like, I don't want to lose so much sleep. So I wouldn't do like, I've heard of people doing like an hour before and like just so they can hit snooze over and over. And no, like that's not cool.
Right. I'm like, I don't want to be out of REM that soon before my alarm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a while where I tried this thing and I just couldn't keep up with it, but it was kind of cool. It was like this, like an app where you like put it, like somehow it could tell by like your movement how you were sleeping. Maybe it's like something like the watches do too. I don't have a watch, but it was like you would put it like under your mattress and then you would give it a range. So you would say like, you obviously like for work or whatever, you need to get up by a certain time, but you could say like, wake me up anytime between 7 a.m. and 7:45 a.m. and it would like wake you up in somehow like the ideal range, like based on how like you were coming out of REM or whatever, something.
Yeah. So I was like, that's cool. I had an app like that in college called Sleep Cycle.
I think it was that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you like put it, you just put your phone, you put it on the app, you put your phone
like under your
face down.
I don't know.
Or under your mattress. I would put it face down on my mattress and then it monitors your movement. So then when you wake up, you see like how much moving you did during the night. And then it wakes you up so gently. So you like, politely come out of rim rather than just like just out of nowhere. Oh, but yes, sleep. It's so wonderful. But so that's crazy that like she's trying it. That would be, I hope she finds a compromise.
Yeah, or I've heard of those like light alarm clocks where it's a like the sun rising and that could wake you up or something. I just think it's bad enough to like have a partner where you, like they have a different alarm than you because they have a different schedule and you're like, oh, that's gonna wake me up. Like, so to have so many more,
that's not good. That's a little wild on that. Yeah.
But otherwise, like I am like Team Rachel on all these other things.
Everything else, just this one thing. So she goes to his house, the infamous house that he's so proud of, and I finally do see that his job is a mission flight specialist.
I don't know what that means, but
he points out his sectional. He's like, I have this great sectional. Is this couch better than yours?
So rude.
Even
don't say that out loud. Like, that's what you're just thinking. Like, yeah, I want to keep my couch. I want to keep your couch. And it's like,
Oh, God. It's an eyesore.
Like, maybe it's comfortable, but like, she might be looking for more like an HGTV kind of look.
Yeah. And I'm personally not a leather couch person because it can get so hot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be sitting on the couch for, like, you know, you can get into a good binge of a show, right? And then you get up after 3 hours and then you're stuck. But he loves his leather sectional.
Yeah. And we hear about the pool table on the second floor again.
Yes. Yeah, so he's like, yes, I still have that dream. Second floor, pool table on the second floor. He's just like.
I always think about when you hear things like that over and over in a show, you know, you're like, I'm thinking that he's wanting this to get into the cut once, you know, so he's going to say it multiple times. Like, and then the editor's like, yes, we're going to show how fixated he is.
Yes. But he's talking about everything in his house and they do that like montage where it's just like all the words are overlapping each other because he's doing so much talking about his house. He's just very, very, very clearly proud. Which is, it's understandable. Yes, you're proud of the home you've built. You've worked so hard for. But it's almost like his house is like the equivalent of like Mirla's red bottoms.
Right.
His house or his marriage? Might have to go with the house.
His was another that was just like blah color palette, you know? It was very spacious, but... I could see that she'd be like, yeah, this is his style and I'd just be living in it.
Exactly. And so she runs across the infamous whiteboard of all his budgets. She's just like, wow. And he's like, okay, well, he's like, if you don't have something like this, I'll help you get to this. I'll help you get to something like this. I'm like, where is this coming from? I know she said like she wants his help money wise, but she's clearly shocked by this whiteboard. And so it's not.
I bet he would happily buy another whiteboard for her, but she can't have her own bin of pencils. She can't have her own desk how she wants it.
Right. Oh my gosh. So it's like it's always as if the way he's done it is the only way that he thinks it should be done.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you're saying this, it's like, are we shocked that he and Johnny are like best buds?
Right.
Exactly. There's only one way to be.
Yeah. So he visits her apartment. Like you mentioned, he thinks that the five empty jugs that are neatly stacked on top of each other next to the door, he's just like, this is clutter. And then he's like, why does she need so many bags? Because he sees her purses, her stack of purses. And then he's like, why do you need so many pencils? Because her desk has like two pencil holders full of pencils. He's like, who needs that many pencils? And then on her table, she has a globe where she puts in, I guess she puts in things like destinations that she wants to travel to. And so she picked out, she's like, see, like, I want to go to these places. And he's just like, whoa, that's a lot of money. Like, I knew she liked to travel, but like, I didn't know it was to that extreme. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah.
It's like, yes, she likes to travel. But what do you mean that extreme? Like, she's taking trips every other week?
Yeah, was it like just the quirks that she had in the little thing and that she wanted to be so spontaneous about it? And I don't think she really goes by that either. I think that's maybe more like a, oh, this is kind of fun, like a fun, like,
yeah,
wish list kind of thing. But I right. doubt that she, maybe that's the one that she took out her credit card on and she just grabbed one and said, I'm going here. But right. I think she probably plans a little more than that. Like, you're not going to like grab something out of there and go to Japan the next week. So
that's what he thinks.
Yeah, I think that's like a fun, like, conversation starter. I think coffee table, like, just sit and have fun, like, talk about it and, like, plan your dream trip and, like, pull out a few of them and say, like, okay, let's line them up. Which one do you like? I like that. I think it's cool. But I think she's testing them. She's trying to be like, okay, how spontaneous can you be? And she didn't get the guy that's going to surprise her with a weekend trip to Paris or anything like that.
Right. Who would any of the husbands, like, of this batch, would there be another one that would?
I think, but the thing is, like, Gil, I think Gil would try to do it if he could, because he, I think he wants to, like, spoil Mirla, but but it's like, that's not a feasible with his, you know, she's the one that's making more money, I think. So
like, if he had the means. But yeah, definitely not Ryan. I couldn't see that being like.
No, but then on one unfiltered that she said that he had been on like rides in private jets. So,
oh yeah,
maybe. No, he'd take her to like some outdoor place that she didn't want to go.
Right, exactly.
My hunting retreat.
Yeah,
it's got a spa like at the main lodge. So just enjoy.
Yeah,
that's what he would do. He'd make it all about himself.
Right. So Pastor Cal did come visit, and I would say theirs was the least interesting Pastor Cal visit. They said they're happily married, they're holding hands or they're talking to him, and Pastor Cal joked that like she married up or that he married up, and then Rachel's like, no, I think I did. And so they talked about how like finances are a challenge at the moment, and they do flashback to this conversation they had earlier that day about how she wanted a new car, but she also would want to take a trip. And so they're like, trip or car? It's like, because I think the trip or something, the trip they're referring to is possibly $3,000 or something like that. And so Pastor Cal basically describes like he's the science, like, Jose is the science. And she's the art. And
I like that.
Yes, exactly. Another powerful Pastor Cal.
It's coming prepared.
Yes. I'm convinced, not that Pastor Cal isn't capable, but we're just looking from past seasons. I'm convinced the experts got together and said, look, we need to actually come through with some stuff. Let's join forces and have some good feedback for these couples.
Right.
And so Pastor Cal said, like, basically, Rachel's going to bring the fun out of Jose and he can't snuff that in her because it's who she is. But then I guess the biggest bomb drop was that they've consummated their marriage.
Yeah, that was the one big revelation, because especially when they're like, of course. And
yeah, we just saw them say
that he needs all these boxes checked. And it was like this big issue.
Like, when did that happen? Timeline. That's what I was really hoping he was going to be on Unfiltered, but he wasn't. And so it was like, when did that happen? The first night in your apartment? Because clearly it didn't happen on the honeymoon. If that's he needed the boxes checked.
Or the night before they left the honeymoon. I don't
know. Right. Or were they lying to the other couple? Because all the couples said they hadn't at that point. I don't know.
I think that must happen a lot. I think because if they're waiting to see, I don't want to be the first to admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that being the case, that then they sort of like look at each other like, okay, we're in front of Pastor Cal now. We're going to come clean.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a pastor.
With an of course. I was like, no, not of course. What are you talking about?
Consistencies, editors. Inconsistencies.
Right. And then I think on the next time on, you know, we do see Jose go to comfort Johnny. And then also Rachel said that Jose needs to loosen up on their finances. So that's going to be a strong theme in their relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to go an episode without talking about their finances.
No.
So where would you rate them?
Gosh. Like, do I go a 5 with them? Like, because they're so like so like each other right now.
Mm-hmm.
If they both think that they married up, like, that's a good sign. Was there anything bad for them in the preview coming up?
Not really.
Yeah.
Just her bringing up the finances.
Yeah. I think because Pastor Cal has intervened early and they had that good, like, nugget of wisdom that, like, they have to balance each other out. Yeah, I think, why not just go with it? It's the end of the last couple. Let's give them a 5.
I'm going to go with a 4 only because I'm still nervous about him. I still feel like they're on cloud 9, and I feel like there are qualities so you mentioned the toothpaste thing. So what it was like her toothpaste was like she squeezes from wherever she's feeling, right? And so that's mm-hmm. what it's reflective of her toothpaste. But he's a bottom up type of guy, so it was very neat. And so he's like, look, even we do our toothpaste differently. I'm like, don't judge her for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm more of a her. I've never been a clean, smooth from the bottom type of, you know, and I just throw out the tube when I really can't squeeze any harder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's things like that that just concerns me. He's too nitpicky and I feel like it may get under her skin at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of like when Johnny and Bao were brushing teeth next to each other. We knew we'd get that scene because he was talking about it before he was matched.
Yeah.
He just dreams of brushing his teeth with his partner. And it was like they were comparing, like, he was trying to... It's kind of funny to me that he was worried about, like, her seeming, like, childish because he's like telling her how he brushes his teeth, like, well, I do the top of my roof of my mouth and my tongue, and mm-hmm. she's like, yeah, me too.
Right.
Making sure that you just do it the right way and you don't miss a step.
Right.
So
yeah, anything else from this episode?
I don't think so. I'm curious to see, like, what happens next week with Johnny and Bao, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm just so convinced that they're just, like, happily in love, and, like, maybe all these things are just really dramatic, but really nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say this is a pretty solid episode. Like, usually I see, okay, how much time do I have left? But these 2 hours kind of flew by before I knew it. The episode was over. So I was like, oh, okay. Great job. Tons of content. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Are we ready to rank these dog names?
Yes.
Wait, so, Rachel and Jose don't have any pets either, right? There's 2 couples without pets.
Right.
Interestingly, like, the people that are really particular, the guys that are so particular.
Right.
Are that's not animal people.
Right. So we have Nova and Bella, who are Zach and Michaela's dogs. We have Hype, who is Gil's dog, and then we have Maisie and Baxter, who are Brett and Ryan's dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So Maisie's very interesting. Like, I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, it's like Daisy with an M.
Yeah,
I think Hype is the most unique. That's probably what would get my number one.
Yes, I agree. I'm with you with Hype being number one. Bella is so common. I can't go Bella second.
No. I think Baxter is common, but it's like more like it's a really, like, classic dog name. It's really cute.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not original, but I just like it as a name. I put that above Bella. But I'm probably Nova or Maisie for my second.
Yeah, okay. I'll go Nova. I think that's really cute.
Yeah.
And then Maisie, and then Baxter, and then Bella.
Yeah.
So top dog names, according to us. Number one, Hype. Number two, Nova. Number three, Maisie. Number four, Baxter. And number five, Bella.
Yes.
But they're all so cute.
Yes. So
they rank five for, they all tie for first for cuteness.
Yeah, they're all very cute dogs.
Yes.
I would be interested in how it would line up last season, because there are so many animals to deal with.
Yes.
I only remember like Rocky. Mostly. That's like the only one I remember.
Yeah, because Rocky had like a whole storyline. Yeah,
that's why I remember.
Right. Well, also, just yeah, everyone, thank you so much for sticking with us. If you have any positive feedback or even constructive feedback, definitely leave us a rating on Reality TV Wrap Ups. We don't yet have our Married at First Sight feed; it's coming. So for now, check out the Reality TV Wrap Ups feed and leave a 5-star review so we can keep this content coming. And Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me podcasting about Bachelor in Paradise currently, also on the Reality TV Wrap Ups feed or on the Bachelor Bachelorette feed, and on Twitter at RHAP Recapper.
Awesome. And then I also want to mention that since it is the beginning of the month, it's the beginning of September, it's the best time, if any, to become an RHAP patron. So definitely go check out the patron-only content. Become a patron. Then you have access to, I think there are at least 5 patron-exclusive podcasts out right now with the crossover of Big Brother and Survivor content happening right now. So definitely go become a Rob Has a Podcast patron. But outside of that, you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, so A-Y-S-H-A, like A-S-I-A. I'm continuing to help out with Big Brother 23 coverage. I was on the 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way podcast with Puya.
What does The Other Way mean?
So normally, 90 Day Fiancé is someone from another country coming to live in America. Well, the other way is the American going to live in their country.
Ooh, sign me up.
Right. So it's interesting because usually it's like, okay, they come over. Usually like on 90 Day Fiancé, they come over and then like it's them acclimating to American culture. And usually they always think it's so lavish because they hear about like the American dream and they come over and then their person is like in the middle of nowhere, you know, and they're like, what is this? This is not the America I saw. But The Other Way has been interesting. I've never watched a season of The Other Way. And so it's really interesting. And so I would definitely say check it out. They had, I think we talked about 5 couples as well, and some very interesting storylines. So definitely worth the watch. And then also, let me see what else, whatever else I have going on. If any time I'm podcasting for RHAP, I will talk about it on my Twitter. So definitely just go give me a follow. But as always, thanks for a good chat, Amy. Anything else you want to add about I was about to say about 90 Day, about Married at First Sight.
No, just loving the season and glad you're on board with watching Unfiltered now.
Yes.
I was like, learning a little tidbit, right?
Yeah, it was a little helpful. And then, but I caught myself like trying to read into their body language. I'm like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, that's the downside.
Yeah, because I'm already like, I love spoilers. And so the fact that I am actively avoiding spoilers is already a lot.
It's testing you.
Right, exactly. And the fact that like, I am also avoiding spoilers for Bachelorette in preparation for our draft. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of avoiding happening over here. Nice. But everyone, thank you for listening. And we will be back next week with a guest. So stay tuned to see who that is. Bye.